I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer.
Sean Hammer, episode 68. Now, 68 will hold the conclusion of a little bit of talk about the massive tome of knowledge and death, and basically an assault weapon itself, the Warhammer 40K rulebook for 6th edition. Plus, we'll be going over a little bit of some Dr. McMorning and my thoughts about him and what I'm thinking about doing. I picked up a crew and I'm looking at starting them up. And basically, I'm going to send out some... a plea for help, I guess. So let's go ahead and discuss what I've been doing as of late. Well, I've been playing HeroClix, judging HeroClix, doing Infinity Gauntlet, organized play, as well as a sealed release for Chaos War at Cool City Games. Looking at starting a HeroClix podcast called Dial Talk Radio. I'll probably link it from this site and everything like that. We'll actually see if I go through with it. But looking at that, let's see. For 40K related, haven't done much. Looked at some models. Thought about painting them. Thought about it. Let's see. Been reading the hell out of this 40K rulebook. Don't know exactly my thoughts about it. But it is here, and it's here to stay. I just hope that in a couple years they don't give us another rule set and say, now you got to play with this, because this was quite an investment. Let's see. Got Games Day coming up next weekend. I have the Metal Mayhem Tour from Rockstar Energy Drink or whatever it is. Anyway, it's got Slayer, As I Lay Dying, Slipknot, Motorhead. Going to see them all. Taking my son for his birthday. Taking my wife, my dad, and nephew, too, so that'll be fun. All-day event on this coming up Sunday. Let's see. As for everything else, I haven't been doing too much of anything. Trying to still get motivated to move all my Malifaux stuff downstairs so I can start painting. I might actually paint some 40K this week while I judge the Infinity Gauntlet tournament, so we'll see. I'd like to get something done. Probably going to work on my Space Wolves because I want to dip them in the Army Painter. It seemed to be work out pretty good with the Kador models that I painted. So let's go ahead and get started with this segment. We're going to be going through the Warhammer 40K 6th Edition Rulebook. I know, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts too, man. I know on all the podcasts, everyone has their little talks and stuff like that, and I like listening to podcasts. I mean, just to see what other people say too, plus, I think one of the reasons why I have a podcast is so I can talk about Warhammer and stuff without boring my wife to death all the time, so I'm going to bore you guys. So, like I said, the book's cool, everything like that. Let's go ahead and go through some significant changes in my thoughts and what I think. Let's see. For one, the book is totally mismatched where I think they could put stuff back in there. I think this is a very similar to Warhammer Fantasy 8th edition. But let's go movement phase. We're not really too worried about it. It's not a lot has changed. Shooting phase, a couple things have changed. So that's pretty cool. Rapid fire. It's actually changed, especially now it's a half your range, so that's cool, especially if you're a tall player, because half your range on your plasma rifle is 15 instead of 12, so you get another 3 inches. Line of sight, of course, it's a true line of sight, but with a lot of mixed in area terrain as well, so I guess it's up to the players to really decide how they want to go with everything. Of course, you can pre-measure in this game. The rolling to hit's not affected, but we do have something called snapshots. What these are weapons. They can fire snapshots. These will be done at Ballistic Skill 1, during certain times you can do. So, kind of like when a tank moves at certain speeds, it can do snapshots. If your unit's in Overwatch, which is kind of like a stand and shoot that you can do, is that's pretty cool. So it gives 40K's got now stand and shoot that you can do. So I like it. I like it. It's got ways if you got a better ballistic skill than 6, how to hit. Of course, the wounds haven't changed. Multiple toughness values haven't changed except for like bikes. You will be having your bracketed toughness as your toughness, so you will have to double out that for instant death. So that's cool. Mixed wounds saves. Shooting's pretty much going to be right around the same feel that we've received from 5th edition. Not too much of a change outside of the rapid fire and such. And vulnerable saves are the same. Our cover saves has changed a little bit. We get 6 pluses for razor wire, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a little bit different where your fortifications give you 3 plus and your ruins building to fortifications give you 4. Everything else drops down to 5 plus, so that's pretty cool. And a lot of your razor wire and your forts and area train is 5 plus. Simple as that. Let's see. Units in cover, basically you can choose to shoot at a unit that's in cover and have all your shots going against part of the unit that's not in cover if you want, so that's a little bit different. The assault phase is probably one of the bigger parts in the rule book. It's pretty complex now, where you got going initiatives and you got your follow-ups and, you know, based on your initiative and stuff. Also, we have a AP, armor penetration on hand-to-hand weapons, some of the hand-to-hand weapons. So it's pretty cool, keeping things consistent with the rest of the rules. The one thing that I like is I like the and now you can charge 2d6. There's no set range that you can charge, so you can like botch rolls, roll double ones, or if you like declare a charge, a unit can do Overwatch and take snapshots against you. And if they kill the front unit, a couple models, it could actually screw up your charge. So actually, it's pretty nice. I do like it. I play IG, so you imagine. Okay. Of course, you like it. Let's see. I'm not gonna really go on a hand-to-hand. It's just gonna have to be trial and error, in your games. You have to work it out the different initiative steps with your opponent. I know it's a lot to deal with, and I'm not gonna go over it today or ever. I'm just gonna do my best to just stay out of a hand-to-hand. Yeah. We also have a lookout sir rule. That's a little bit of remnants from fantasy that we've got in there. Let's see, for morale and stuff, thou shalt know no fear is the badass thing you could ever have. You get your morale checks, losing a saw, blah blah blah, falling back, regrouping, not going into any of this. What I do like to say is they got a nice compiled group of special rules. They've changed a couple, I don't know how I feel about it, like I play Space Wolves as well in the acute senses state. Now, if the unit contains at least one model with a special rule, the unit arrives on a random table edge due to outflank or other special rules. You can re-roll to see which side it arrives on. I would have rather have acute senses but do something like night fighting or something, because, you know, it's dealing with your actual senses and battling through night and stuff like that. Or acute senses, you get a 1+ better save for your dangerous train because you got like unshakable balance or something. Let's see, we have Adamantium Will, which gives you +1 bonus to deny the witch, which is a dispel, just like in fantasy, that you can dispel psychic powers. It's just got a lot of stuff that's pretty cool. Like, they got their assault vehicles, the armor bane. I mean, it's got a nice little collection of special weapons that I think is pretty, pretty neat here. Let's see. Anything that's... Hammer of Wrath. That's what I like. Bikes, jump packs, and monstrous creatures basically get an impact hit in combat. Initiative, I think it's in the sub phase, so it happened before the actual fight. So I kind of like it. Haywire grenades are pretty devastating, especially with AP, HP, hull points that you got. Missile locks, rage, powered machine spear, it's all in here. It's pretty cool. Like what they did with night vision. Oh, well, not night vision, but night fighting. It's pretty cool. Let's see, let's go with night fighting, because I really like this. I never really cared for your night fighting. It was just a pain in the ass. It didn't even make it worth any fun to play night fighting, because you were like, pfft, it just didn't make sense. But night fighting, what it does. Okay, well, night fighting rules are in effect. The distance to the target becomes very important. Darkness makes it very difficult to acquire distance. Target shooting unit cannot pick target more than 36 inches away. Any unit outside 30 inches away is completely hidden by the darkness. I like it. Units between 24 and 36 are treated as having shrouded special rule. That's pretty cool. And let's go see what shroud is, and I'll go through the shrouded unit that contains one of my models, blah, blah, blah. Counts cover save as being 2 points better than normal. So that's pretty cool. If you're in cover, you get a better cover save because of the shroud. And, let's see, units between 12 and 24 are treated as having a stealth special rule. So, stealth, you know, I mean, it just gives you a little bit aspect, a little bit better that I think the night fighting is going to work out a little bit better. I like it. I'm not going to lie to you. I like it. So, a lot of these special rules are pretty cool. Sorry, I had a call there. Let's see, well, we go into unit types, just like we got the breakdown Warhammer Fantasy. I'm not busting out Games Workshop and say, hey, why don't you make a distinctly different game, but, and basically, what they did is, they covered it. Even your artillery pieces have their own toughness, because when you shoot at them, you have to randomize it, so it's pretty cool. Monstrous creatures, it's pretty cool. Special rules for monstrous creatures, something I like is, they have fear, hammer wrath, they move through cover, relentless, and smash. There's a lot of special rules your monstrous creatures get, so I'm very excited that I picked up the Dread Knight. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. You got the flying monstrous creatures. Of course you got your weapons. Let's see, rapid fire. You can fire up to half your maximum range, 2 shots, or... So you can, when you shoot... You know, I don't know. I just, anyway, I'm babbling. Sorry, everybody. Sorry. But anyway, we'll go through, and, I don't know, it's pretty cool. Goes through your characters and stuff. One thing I don't really care about is there's challenges. A lot of people say they like challenges. I haven't gotten one yet. A couple of hand-to-hand weapons, like Frost Axes for Space Wolves got nerfed a little bit because you have to treat them as, unwieldy, so they'll be going last. And then it's just like, don't know how I feel. Of course you have your Psykers, which I kind of like more psychic powers, the better anyway. I kind of like the whole story behind psychic powers in 40K, so it's pretty freaking cool that there's more psychic powers out there. Your vehicles, pretty much not a lot has changed except for what you can shoot by how fast you move and how you're shooting, like snapshots or such. And there's such thing called as a hull point. Now, each vehicle has a hull point. Generally, I find out that 3 is pretty much the hull point you're looking at. If you have, 3 hull points, and someone glances you, you do the glancing result, and you remove a hull point. And if they do a penetrating result, you'll do the, take a hull point, and you'll, apply the effects. Now, it's possible to take 3 shots glancing that never destroy you on a, hull point vehicle of 3, and lose all 3 hull points, and you'd be a, wrecked vehicle. So that's pretty cool. Vehicle squadrons changed a little bit. Flyers are in 40K, officially, and it's got a whole bunch of rules for flyers. And it's gonna make it a little difficult for people using, the Storm Ravens and stuff, because you're only allowed to do a 90-degree turn. You have to fly your mount. So it is possible that your flyer is going to leave the table for a minute. Just can't hover around and stuff, which... certain things... I can see a Storm Raven hovering. I can't see... I think a Valkyrie can. I don't know. It's new rules, new aspects. Everyone's going to have it. Forge World is going to be acceptable in every... everyday play, so that'd be cool. Open out vehicles, blah, blah, blah. Vehicle upgrades, not too much has changed. Got a lot of cool pictures. Of course, we have our battlefield train that talks about different stuff. And, you know, we have some mysterious train, basically. It's just like in Warhammer Fantasy that you have to roll on to see if, you know, like the forest eats you or something. So I'm not dissing it. I like it. I like playing with Spectral Train. I like it in Malifaux as well. I like Spectral Train. Definitely get together with your opponent. Go through exactly what your terrain is before the game. Get it set. If you gotta make little cue cards, make a little cue card so you remember what it is. I know it's like true line of sight, but I'd still cover like those Games Workshop buildings they put out, the City Fight buildings. I count those as area terrain, multi-level area terrain. I don't know. Most people do is buildings. You can blow up buildings, such as everything else. Like I said, you got rivers, lakes, and pools. You got a mysterious river, mysterious forest. It's pretty cool. Battlefield debris, impact craters, unique terrain. So it's pretty cool. A little bit of difference you can have in your battlefield. You can bring your battlefield a little bit more to life and kind of make it like a movie in your own head, as a nerdy little head. And when I say nerdy, it's not as a bad thing. Now, for choosing your army, here's the new thing we got. We have our force organization chart. It's divided. The first part is basically what everyone's used to looking at. Second little box we have is allied detachment, which are optional. In your little force organization, what you have to have and can take there, and fortifications, which I believe White Dwarf's going to introduce more fortifications as time goes on. Yes, I said we're going to have allies. So it's pretty cool. I kind of covered it last episode where certain people can take certain things, and it's cool. It gives me a chance to actually buy up a Storm Talon and paint up some Imperial Fists because I like yellow, but I don't want a whole complete army of a vanilla type Space Marine. I like Space Wolves. Also have Grey Knights. You know, roll your eyes. But it allows me to paint some yellow or do even Raven Guard because I think Raven Guard would be fun too. Your warlord can have these command traits, personal traits, and stuff like that. I'm not going to go into it. Just check it out. That's on 111. It's a whole bunch of different things that your own warlord can take. And it looks like it's been pretty cool. Of course, you got your fortifications. The one I'm definitely going to buy because of my Imperial Guard. And I'm buying some Tau off a buddy of mine, Brian Mackey, to run with my stuff. An Aegis Defense Line. Pretty cool. It's just freaking a fortification you can put up to hide your guys behind. Yes. Let's see. They just got a couple of things in there. Of course, they have the whole fighting a battle. Imperial Man. A lot of fluff, I guess, in here. And unfortunately, if you are our Black Library reader, you knew all the fluff and all the extra intricate details that you can have in the fluff. Goes through the different armies and stuff. And of course, it's all color and it's beautiful and stuff like that. Let's see. Let's get through all this crap. crap. Let's see. Campaigns. Yeah, I don't know. Then you go on your psychic powers. Psychic powers are psychic powers. You just have more choices what you can take. And now you can try and dispel psychic power. So that's pretty cool. Not going over. That's basically the gist of the 40K book. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. Do I think it's worth it? Yeah. I think it's got more character. And I like it a little bit more than 5th edition. I definitely do like the Overwatch. It's not as cumbersome as in 2nd edition when I first started playing. Yeah, quite a while ago, huh? Where you have to forego your movement and your shooting and wait, hope that someone's going to go into your field of vision before you can take a shot at him with Overwatch and stuff. And combat, being whether or not close combat is difficult and it's going to be a little bit time consuming now, it never will be as time consuming as it was in 2nd edition. 2nd edition had combat systems similar to that of Necromunda. It would, guess it would work in a skirmish game, but it did not work well in troop type. Let's see, flyers, we got them. I like them. I'm not gonna lie to you, I have a couple Valkyrie Vendettas. And I got Storm Raven, so it's just like I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I like the flyers. I like the aspects of them, and I think they make it a great addition to every army that there is. Psychic powers, love them. Think it's good. on the battlefield conditions you can have and everything, with the whether it being fortifications you can buy, and or what this building changes for cover saves and stuff like that, or if that forest is going to eat your face off or not. I like it. I like it all. So, if you're on the edge of picking up Warhammer 40k 6th edition, I'd say go ahead and do it. It's worth it. I don't know if they're releasing it in a box set, like they did with the Salt and Black Reach, but if they do, pick that one up. If you're not a big old, you know, you're not a completist or something, if you have to have this book, I mean, it's a nice book, but I think I would have rather spent just a little bit more to get some models and a smaller rule book than get this giant rule book. I know my sayings that, you know, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. It should be, if you're not having fun, kill your opponent with this rule book, because you can do that. It was Professor Mustard in Study with a 40k rule book. So that's all I'm going to go about 40k now. Just give it a whirl, play some damn games, have fun doing it. It basically made it so it can be fun. I guess I do have one bitch I didn't cover. I don't know how I feel about chariots. That's kind of deviate a little bit between 40k and fantasy, guys. Come on. It's bad enough in fantasy they took away true skirmishers and made you put them on movement bases, because 40k is not. And I think, I don't know, I think they could have been a little bit more, made a little bit more sense with the challenges, I guess, and the chariots. So that's going to be it for now. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to go on my dilemma with Dr. McMorning from Malifaux. All right, talk to you in a minute. And I hope you appreciate the noise. I want to put something in different than the commercial, because I have to redo my commercials. So let's go ahead, and this is kind of my call for help and a little bit of going over an idea I had. Actually, I will cover Dr. McMorning at a later date, but after I decide what I'm going to do for a crew for him. So you're going to say, alright Sean, why the hell did you pick up Dr. McMorning? I'm going to say this, I picked up a set of them, painted. That would be with Sebastian, two nurses, and Dr. McMorning. Beautifully painted. I thought they looked good in the picture, but got them in person, and my mouth dropped and realized that I, can't paint. I can't paint. So, I've been looking at Dr. McMorning. I like all of his stories in the Malifaux Rule Book 1. I think he's a spaz, and I like that. Looking at his, and Kroom, what I think they can do is he runs around with a little zombie chihuahua, runs around with some canine remains, two nurses, and a Sebastian. I'm pretty sure he goes around collecting body parts to create flesh constructs. That's what I think. Looking at everything, he's pretty much got, he's the doctor himself. You know, he's, I've heard he's pretty hand-to-hand competent. His mobility's above average. You know, he gets plus one both walk and charge. He's got the passion for work ability. He'll gain body parts for each turn. So discard one each turn to get fast. So that's pretty cool. He's got scalpel slinging. I just like that. pretty good attack. He's got 6-inch range. He's pretty good offense, you know. Let's see, his attacks come with ignore, armor, heart of wound. He gains body part whenever he deals damage with his attacks, and he heals McMorrow an equal amount of damage he deals. So that's pretty cool, you know, like little stuff to go. His number one spell appears to be on this card is the Scalpel Slinging. Everything I mentioned above, you know, in mobility, can be used, you know, he can use as a free zero melee attack on a target he's already hacked up. Also, on a melee attack, it bypasses some of the defense abilities and triggers that work against range strikes, so that's pretty cool. It's uses a pseudo charge, so it can get around Perdita's quick draw and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. Let's see, he's got some spells going to his stuff. The only bad thing about buying these guys, they didn't come with cards, so I have to kind of download them one day. It seems like his whole thing is about getting more body parts, you know, and of his attack and stuff. He's got hard to wound 1, 12 wounds. Let's see. Organ donor, he gains his life back. Yeah. Looking at his abilities, he's got horrible willpower, so don't let him get any more morale duels. At least avoid that right there. Read along with him, you know. You can trade in your soul stones for extra body power counters at the beginning of the game. A lot of tricks I've been reading back and forth on the forums is, you know, stockpile your A+ mass cards and you get ready to cast your level 1 spells. You know, get your free melee strikes to gain your body parts, stuff like that. I don't know. It's just, I'm at a loss right now what really to do with this guy. You know, he's got his Monster's Creation, which he can summon, you know, Kin on Your Names, Gold Autopsies, Flesh Contracts, Rogue Necromancy, which I have one because I bought Molly. I read a couple things where people say how you can summon a Flesh Construct on your first turn in one activation. I'm not that familiar quite with the game to actually get there. Let me know what you think. If you can put it in normal human words, how I can summon a Flesh Construct on the first turn in one activation, do not be ashamed to send them to me, and I will go over it, because I would really like to know how in the hell you could do that. Let's see. What else came in his box? 2 nurses came in his box. So they're pretty cool. I know I went over the nurses a little bit, where they can basically, they can sit there and, you know. Oh my god. You know, it's a buff. You can buff your canine remains, make them faster, and hit quite harder, stuff like that. I don't know if I should run 2 or not. I don't know if I should run 2. You know what? Matter of fact, looking at the box, it comes with a Flesh Construct, and I didn't get one. But I'm not bitching, because the 4 models I have are insanely painted well, so I'm going to have to get a Flesh Construct. Let's see. One figure I do like in this box set, though, is I like Sebastian. I'm not going to lie to you. He is pretty cool. I guess he's slow, and let's go through his stuff. Let's go through Sebastian. He's his ever-faithful assistant. In the stories, he's pretty damn cool to go along with anything. He's human. He's not very fast. He's a capable melee fighter. He can also get the body part things as well. I guess he works really good with the dogs, because he's got the hair boy. He can work a decent alpha strike with a bunch of canine remains, so if you want to do that, that's pretty cool. So this is it right now. I'm not really going over McMorning. Like I said, this is not my official. I'm going through McMorning. I got McMorning. What do I do with him now? Anyone who's got any ideas, go ahead and send them to me. And I'll try to put a crew together, give them some test tries. And, you know, maybe cover them up. I'll give you credit on the air, stuff like that. And, yeah, that's pretty much going to be it. Don't. I've been working on my Hamlin tricks. I'm looking forward to playing my Hamlin, so that's coming up pretty soon. And other than that, I'm going to call this show quits for today. And you got any show ideas you want to hear? You say, Sean, get your dumb ass and get off your dumb ass and do a show about this. Let me know. I always accept ideas. I like feedback, bad or good. Doesn't bother me one bit. You send them to Seanhammer at the number 9 at yahoo.com. And we still got the 40K giveaway coming up. I mean, you know, still got going on. So now a lot of not a lot of people putting in for that quite yet. So hopefully, you know, you want to win a 40K rule book, sealed, shrink wrap, brand new rule book. Go up on internet, like Cool City Games, leave me an iTunes review, send me an email with contest 6th edition in the subject line. Let me know that you did it. Give me your call name on both, I guess, so I know which one you are and everything. And you'll be entered in the 40K giveaway. So, like I said, if you have any ideas what I can do or for McMorning, or, you know, send them to me. You want to send them to me in audio format? Anything about Malifaux or 40K or fantasy, send them to me in audio format, and I'll play them on the show. I'm not against that. You know, give your name, everything about it. So we're going to cut this short right around about 30 minutes today. Hopefully next time we'll have a little bit more to talk about. I'm going Games Day, so there'll probably be some interviews from Aaron Dembski-Bolden and James Swallow. So, until next time, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.